As I walked around the neighborhood before Thanksgiving, I noticed this year Christmas decorations already appearing. Even some trees, even some houses as I walked by them, had lighted Christmas trees in their front windows. It seems that the annual holiday season came early this year, and I certainly, maybe you have too, I've certainly heard some people saying it has come early because they just needed it. After all the trials and dislocations, especially of this pandemic, several people are feeling, I just need to jump to Christmas. And there's no doubt that this time is an enjoyable time of year. I find decorations lift my spirits, they delight our senses. Giving gifts allows us to express caring for people in our lives. And so I know I want to disparage this season or anyone's desire for a celebration to lighten the mood of our world. But at the same time, there is a way that holiday festivities can be at odds with how we might be feeling this year, how we perceive the state of the world around us. With so much that is unsettled, with our new fears of this recently discovered COVID variant and all the questions of what it means for us, with economic worries, rampant racism and white supremacy and injustice generally, it just might be challenging to feel cheery this year. But I'm thankful that we don't have the holiday season in our liturgical calendar. Instead, we have the season of Advent. And instead of one long wind up to Christmas calling us to be merry and have good cheer, Advent calls us to something else. Advent has its own particular themes and promises that I think we need this year. For the season of Advent calls us to honesty. It calls us to looking at our lives and our world realistically, seeing where we've strayed from God's call and intention. This is a season of seeing with open eyes, even trying to see with the eyes of God. It is the time to acknowledge the pain and the brokenness of our lives and of our world. And we don't do that so we feel bad. We do that with the expectation that God is working. With the expectation that God is at work in the world even now, even before Jesus returns in glory at the end of the age. Advent reminds us of the promise that God enters into everything that ails this world and that God desires to redeem it, to turn it right by the power of God's love and God's justice. And so these 4 weeks of Advent offer a call that is in some ways at odds with the good cheer and the sentimentality and the joy of our secular holiday season. But they offer rich promise for us. In her book, Advent, the Once and Future Coming of Jesus Christ, the Episcopal priest Fleming Rutledge observes that many people don't really want to think about the unpleasant reality of our world at the time of the holidays, that it can actually intrude on our holiday spirit. Rutledge writes, and I quote, "Advent contains within itself the crucial balance of the now and the not yet that our faith requires. The disappointment, brokenness, suffering, and pain that characterize life in this present world is held in dynamic tension with the promise of future glory that is yet to come. In that Advent tension, the Church lives its life." Unquote. Rutledge then continues, and I quote again, "We would rather build fantasy castles around ourselves decked out with angels and candles. This is precisely the sort of illusion about spiritual health that the Church in Advent refuses to promote. The season is not for the faint of heart." Unquote. That resonates with me. Advent is not for the faint of heart. Advent is not neat and tidy. Advent, as she says, is that in-between time, and it often lacks clarity. Advent does not deny or ignore the state of our world. And rather than comfort ourselves with warm feelings, Advent invites us to honesty. To honesty about the state of things in our world, to see the world as it is. We certainly hear this in our gospel this morning. It has disturbing images. Jesus says there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaking. Not exactly a cheery holiday message, is it? Jesus tells his disciples, however, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud. Jesus will come in glory to judge the world. But at these signs, Jesus says, raise your heads. Don't cower in fear or worry, for it means our redemption is at hand. Jesus is coming to set all things right. Injustice will be overturned, brokenness will be healed. God's love will transform the face of the earth. So be alert. Pray at all times, Jesus implores us today, and be ready to receive Jesus when he comes again in glory. Each year, the first Sunday of Advent offers that same call from Jesus, the call to be ready, to be alert, to be watching. It's a call to be ready for when Jesus comes again in glory. And we're warned that as the end approaches, there will be calamities, there'll be wars, divisions among people, even within families, famines, earthquakes, and fires. There'll be trials and travails. I don't know about you, but as I read these words, I can't help but think this year, these images that we hear in Luke's gospel seem more real than many years. Maybe it's not hard to imagine that these last things are already happening as we see images of destruction from wildfires in California or of an earthquake in Haiti. Wars and rumors certainly abound. An unrelenting plague grips the world. Our nation, even some of our families, are divided by the polarizing politics of hostility. Could the end be near? Are these the signs? Are we literally entering the end of the age? I hope you're not looking for an answer, by the way. Because no one knows but God. And I think it's probably unlikely that the apocalyptic language we hear in the gospel today is a literal blueprint of what will happen. But these writings are entrusted to us as a call to lift our heads, to see the world around us, and to look and expect for the advent of God, for God to enter in, for God to come into the mess of this world. As the days grow darker and colder and move towards the longest night of the year, we gather this morning and dare to light that one flame on our Advent wreath. That solitary light, it seems so small, but it is a light that expresses the hope within us, the hope that in the darkness of our world, the light of God, the promise of God, does indeed shine. And we're told that that light is so strong, the darkness will never overcome it. And so Advent invites us to be strong of heart, to dare to be honest, to refuse to hide behind holiday cheer. And Jesus invites us to watch and to look and to see, not averting our eyes, but seeing things as they are and expecting and looking for God to break in. These weeks are a call to live Advent not just for this time between now and Christmas, but in fact the whole of our lives, to always be faithful in following Jesus, to always be praying constantly. It's a call to a way of life that involves remaining alert, even as we move through the routine of our day and months and years. For we do not know when Jesus will come, and so we're called always to be watchful and expectant, to not be caught off guard. Advent reminds us we live in that in-between time, the time before the first advent of God, when God put on human flesh in the baby of Bethlehem and entered into human history. And that second advent of God, we know not when, but that second advent when Jesus will come again in glory with the angels to judge the living and the dead and to bring history to completion. We dwell in that in-between time, And we're called to trust that God is with us in this time. God is always present. God's promise to act in times of challenge and difficulty remains firm. As we move through the challenges of this age, God is with us. God's love and justice do break into the world, even now, even before Jesus comes again. And so we are able to live by hope, despite all that ails the world. The early church theologian Tertullian put it this way, and I quote, "The kingdom of God, beloved brethren, is beginning to be at hand. The reward of life and the rejoicing of eternal salvation and the perpetual gladness and possession lately lost of paradise are now coming with the passing away of the world. Already heavenly things are taking the place of earthly, and great things of small, and eternal things of things that fade away. What room is there here for anxiety and solicitude?" Unquote. This is why Jesus is telling us that when we see the signs of the end, as surely as we see the leaves on the fig tree in summer, we are not to be afraid. Rather than cower in fear, we're to lift up our heads. Our redemption is at hand. Though the heavens and the earth pass away, God's word will not. God's love will endure. And so God's promise to us remains steadfast and true. The sun of righteousness will rise. The faithful of God will be redeemed. Sin and death will be put to flight in a blaze of resurrection light. God is coming because God loves us, and God desires to redeem us, and God longs to bring all people into eternal life. And so it is true, this season of Advent is not for the faint of heart. It's not about easy or sentimental images of cheer. It is about the stark reality of a world overcome by sin, alienation, and brokenness, and the deep promise of God to enter in and redeem it, to set it right. Even as the darkness seems to grow, the pale dawn of God's coming lights the eastern horizon. And so I wonder if maybe in more this year than in other years, do we need this Advent gift to us? Maybe we need Advent more than we ever have. When so much seems out of balance, when a pandemic refuses to end, when hatred and violence seem to reign, maybe we need the strong assurance that God's reign is breaking in, that God is at work. Maybe now more than ever, we need to be reminded that no matter what befalls us, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God made known in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I hope and pray this Advent we may faithfully walk with Jesus and we might pray without ceasing, watching and waiting expectantly for the advent of God, that we can honestly see in our lives and in our world things as they are, and then lift them up to God and trusting them to God and believing God's promise that God will heal and redeem all that is broken. And let us yearn for God's promise of healing and redemption, of the promise of a new way, trusting that this present will be changed, the future will be different, that God's reign does break in. And let us hold on to hope in the midst of the present reality, lifting our heads high, watching for the coming of our God, as we fervently pray without ceasing, "Come, Lord Jesus." Amen.